Hey everybody, welcome to Comedy at the Carlson Cast. It's a special afternoon edition. Check out everything. Your links to subscribe at carlsoncast.com. Today we are joined in studio with my pal and yours, hypnotist Chris Jones.
Thanks for having me.
And now over to me, your humble and handsome host, Fat Vinny Paulino.
Yeah, you're neither of those things.
You're a terrible co-host. I was just about to say that I'm the worst, and I was, you know, setting myself up
I beat you to it. I beat you to it. Yep.
Our guest today will hopefully hypnotize Brian into being less of a stumbling dum-dum. It's Chris Jones, everybody!
Woo! I'm happy to be here. Thanks for having me.
Chris, you walked in at a weird time, pal. It's afternoon. Brian and I are both feeling punchy. We did a show earlier this morning, and we're going to be lucky to get through this thing, bud.
I'm not used to seeing you in the afternoon.
It's a real problem.
It weirds me out.
Well, like once the sun gets to the high point in the sky, I got no more time for you.
It's like running into your teacher at a bar at night or something like that.
Oh, yeah. How you doing? How have things been? Oh, you work at the gas station. That's great. Yeah, I'm still teaching people. Yeah. Apparently not well.
Yeah.
Like, that's how... I think it would be more weird for the student or the teacher to run into the student.
Yeah. Yeah. Like behind a counter.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I got nothing.
This is very interesting to Chris,
so,
I'm sure.
It is.
You
guys are comedians.
Our social dynamic.
I'm a hypnotist. So when people are being funny, I just lean back and let that happen.
Yeah, but you're funny. You're a funny hypnotist.
I do comedy. And tonight's show will be funny. But largely, I'm depending on other people to be quick and witty and personable. And I just... do.
You facilitate. You're an orchestra leader,
yeah,
my friend.
I'm kind of like the alcohol of the party.
Yeah, that's a good way to put it. Yeah.
So, Chris, you've been doing hypnosis for how long, practicing?
Jeez, since 2010. I studied in grad school for 2 years. I graduated. I was 23. I moved all my stuff to my dad's house, and I said, "Dad, I'm going to be a professional hypnotist." And he was terrified.
Yeah, right.
And I did my first show in January of 2010. So it'll be 10 years come January. And then I'm going to slow down. I just got married 6 days ago.
Congratulations.
Thank you. I appreciate it. We're all in this club now.
We're all in this club together. Yeah. This club. Wonderful club of matrimony.
So we're going to honeymoon in a week. And then after her insurance kicks in, she has a new job, trying to have a family. And I'll teach somewhere at a college. Elementary school, high school, but I'll perform on the weekends. That's my whole life plan.
Right now, you want to be a teacher?
I do.
I bet your kids will have good grades.
As long as they're able to question things, I'll be happy. Don't be rude to your teachers, but question what they say. I will be happy.
Okay.
Yeah.
Good luck with that.
Be empathetic, right?
Good luck with that. Good luck with them paying attention to you in general. You're going to have to lead the class in group hypnosis at the beginning of the year.
That's real.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're going to have to hypnotize all the kids.
Hypnotize them that I am the best teacher you've ever seen, and you love me, and you will do what I say.
You will do your homework.
Yeah.
If I cuss accidentally, don't tell your parents.
So we've had the conversation before. There's three questions that you always get asked in interviews. So let's get the BS out of the way.
Cool.
And I'll do some of it for you. Is hypnosis real? Yes.
Yes, it is real. Some hypnotists might use an actor or actress, a stooge, as we call it, but I have never used an actor, actress, stooge. It's all real.
Okay. You've been doing it since 2010. We're 10 years in.
Yep.
And anybody can be hypnotized,
I think anyone can be hypnotized. I know I cannot get everyone. Mm-hmm. And some people are just more susceptible than other people. So some people are saying, I can't get hypnotized. I think you could. But you might take a little bit longer.
Okay.
And you don't have time in a stage show
to
go through all that.
Yeah. And why would I spend half an hour hypnotizing you when there's someone who gets hypnotized in 2 minutes and they're hysterical?
Right.
So
we've got those out of the way. Let's talk about some interesting things.
Okay.
I want to know, and I've been wanting to ask you this for a really long time.
So excited.
When you made this decision to get into hypnosis, what freaking triggered it? What did you see that made you decide that was the direction to go? Because, Chris, I understand people wanting to get into, like, entertainment.
Right.
I personally understand what it's like to see stand-up comedians go, man, I want to do that, and to go after it. Hypnosis, though, is not one of those things on my list.
I was a shy kid. Like, I think a lot of comedians, we want attention. And when I was in college, I had already known how to do magic tricks. I did magic since I was in sixth grade all the way to college. And then I saw a hypnotist perform at my school year after year after year. And then different hypnotists come to my school. and they did the same routines. So it would be like a comedian telling the exact same joke, and people are still laughing, and they think it's incredible, and they think they're unique. And I'm like, well, if you were here last year, you saw the exact same thing. So I was intrigued by that. And in grad school, I saw a final hypnotist, Dr. Steve Tallman. And I said before the show, hey, I'm a magician. I love magic. And he got up there and he's like, hey, Chris Jones, you still watching? He tells this guy, sleep. Give me your wallet when you wake up. Wake up. Gave him his wallet. Sleep. Forget you gave me your wallet. And he says, you can't do that, Chris, with magic. And I felt my heart like divorce magic and move towards wanting to be a hypnotist.
So you could rob people? That.
Well, yeah, so I could steal.
Yeah.
I'm from Chicago, so we steal. But yeah, we have governors that are all in prison right now.
So you don't do magic at all anymore? You just gave that up?
I do. If it's a young crowd, young audience, I'll do a magic trick or two. Or if it's something fast for TV, because I still know it. I got the card tricks and the manipulation. Mm-hmm. But no, if I'm doing 90 minutes, that's comedy hypnosis.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, the magic.
Yeah.
Why'd you get into magic?
Just, I think being...
It's magical.
Yeah. Being a little brown kid from the south side of Chicago, I needed a way to feel special. And David Blaine was popular when I was in sixth grade. I wanted to be David Blaine. Like, that was my hero. And so I just learned magic tricks and kept reading all the books. But I was too shy to practice the tricks, so I just had this, like, wealth of knowledge. And then in high school... You know, I ran cross country and track, and so I wouldn't show the tricks. Then in college, I wanted to meet young ladies, so I practiced my card tricks and bomb at talent shows. And that was a four-year.
Did that work?
It opened the door, but no woman's like ever like, oh my god.
You didn't like pull a quarter from me in the ear.
Here's my theory. You tell me if I'm wrong, Chris. Women really like a successful magician.
Yes.
But a struggling magician might not necessarily be.
Yeah, yeah. And it's when you see really good magic, you feel something. You're like, oh my gosh. And it's the surprise factor. It's the surprise of the card was in my hand and it changed. I don't know how. And then they walk away like, where is he going? No. I love him.
So I got to ask this now. This guy... Carney's some guy into giving him his wallet.
Yeah.
He stole your heart while he did
Carney's
it.
Felt my heart. Just divorced.
Stole your heart. Stole the guy's wallet. And you decide, this is what I'm going to do.
Stole his life, Vinny.
Yeah. That's like how... I bet you all identity theft starts there. Yeah. With hypnosis shows. So what's the first step? Like, say I want to become a hypnotist.
Good
what's
question.
The first step?
So if you wanted to, you could go to Vegas right now, pay a hypnotist $2,000 to $5,000 for a weekend course. Some are better than others. Some you won't learn a whole lot. But yeah, I could teach you over 2 days how to be a hypnotist, because you're okay talking in front of people. You know how to use a microphone. If you believe it's going to work and they believe it's going to work, it will work.
Chris, please do not give Vinny that power. I don't.
Look at that smile.
The world doesn't need it.
Look at that
smile. The world
smile.
Doesn't need Vinny to know how to do that. It's not good. It would not be good for anybody.
You will make those large fries. I would use my powers for
you
just the worst things.
This salad.
Yeah, you will fry the salad.
You're a good person. You can have that power. He can't.
You're kind.
Have that. No.
Chris, can I have the power? Come on, let me have some power,
for
Chris.
The dark side.
No, don't give it to Joe. He'll waste it. Don't waste it on Shoeless Joe.
You'll give me a couch to sleep on.
Yeah.
Sorry, Jay.
He'd get his car fixed. That'd be about it.
He'd be like, you will put shocks in my car. poor kid. So you could take a course, basically, is mm-hmm. the answer. And it takes 2 days to learn how to magically like take someone's wallet. That's pretty darn good.
Yeah, and... I had studied for 2 years. I wrote my thesis on hypnosis in graduate school, master's in recreation therapy, not a therapist. But I practiced, and I wasn't a resident assistant. I was an RA. So I would literally do a card trick, knock on somebody's door. Hey, let me try this card trick. Oh, great. Of course it worked. It's a card trick. Go to sleep. And it wouldn't work. And I was like, well, thank you for hanging out. And I would go to the next door. And I would systematically like practice and see what works, what doesn't work.
So you'd walk from door to door and do things to hypnotize people and put them under, well, under the guise of doing a card trick?
Yeah.
Man, if Cosby had learned that.
Shit.
He's the second half, the end of his life would be a lot different.
Can we talk about
it? It would have made that trial much more interesting, that's for sure.
Your Honor, look at these cards here. Do you see the Ace of Spades?
Not going to jail. Theo. Real fast about that, this is true, you can check it out online. This woman was seeing her divorce attorney, and after one session, she realized that her blouse is undone, and she's concerned. She goes to the police. The police say, go back one more time, please, and we'll put a camera on you. So she goes back to this divorce attorney, and he's hypnotizing her.
This sounds very familiar.
Yeah. And so he's like, every time you hear my voice, you're going to feel sexual things for me, sexual things. And then the police come in. It's like, sir, go ahead against the wall. He's like, yes, sir. And he's against the wall. She snaps out of it. But he goes to jail for 4 years for kidnapping. This happened in America. Yeah. Holding someone against their will. So can you hypnotize someone without their permission, without their consent? Yes. But you might end up in jail. And you should be in jail.
100%.
I guess what else would you... It sounds like a weird thing to charge someone for, but what else would you charge them
for? Like in Kansas, there are laws where you can't perform hypnosis in certain places. In Germany, for example, you can't perform hypnosis unless you take the test, a written test, and that test is in German. So I can't. I don't speak German. I can't read German. I can't perform.
I was going to bring them. I used to live over there, and I remember like the hypnotist acts were like. Yeah. I remember a guy got arrested in the town I lived in.
There you go.
Because he was an unlicensed hypnotist.
And people are like, oh, it's fake. And I'm like, no, this has been around for years and years and years. I can't perform for the troops. If you're an active service member, you have to get permission before you see a hypnosis show. Because you know information.
Oh, that makes sense.
You can be, for lack of a better word, triggered into doing something spontaneously. So
there's actually regulations in the military code about that. So that should answer your question as to whether or not if it's real or not. If the military is legitimately concerned, it's a problem.
Or Germany says this is bad.
It takes a lot to get Germany to get on board of like,
you'd be surprised.
Let us slow down this hypnosis train too far.
They're pretty uptight about a lot of stuff now. That's not really that surprising. But and then I was in the military, and I knew, like, I couldn't take NyQuil in my job without getting permission first. So that does totally make sense that you wouldn't be able to go to one of those shows.
Brian Ball is human NyQuil. But he never makes you feel better. It's kind of the problem that you will go to sleep.
That wasn't even funny.
But you will go to sleep.
That was just mean.
It just cuts.
Yeah. That was just mean.
I know. Listen, you make it less fun when you get all uptight.
Keep writing.
Have you been waiting to say that to me, Brian? Is that your clever comeback?
Yeah.
Keep writing. Yeah. You know I don't write anything. This is all off the top of my head, and my head is filled with anger towards you. Chris, help us.
I'm going to count a few numbers. Some of your calmness will go to Vinny. And I love you. You're kind of hopeless. I know.
I have a problem. There's
all
no
the
hope
salads
for me.
Are fried.
are Italians the hardest people to hypnotize because they're just so awful that it's just really hard to get past that
awful
exterior?
Racist much? Racist much? And you didn't answer it because we probably are.
Well, you're a bad example because you're the Italian I know the most in my life. And if I don't like Italians, it's your fault. Silence.
I do have a friend who's Italian. I hypnotized him. I met him on the Steve Harvey show.
Okay.
Legitimately. I got to be on Steve Harvey, and I never met him before, but they said, we have this person who's afraid of roller coasters. His name's Paulie. They let us go to Six Flags before it even opened. It was awesome. They said, you're going to meet him in a second. Hypnotize him. And I was like, well, I don't know if it's going to work. And they said, well, make it work because our cameras are rolling, and we have you here at Six Flags. We rent it out 30 minutes before it opens. So the rides are starting up. I meet him. I hypnotize him. Tell me your first memory of being on a roller coaster or something scary. And I say, see that happening to someone else. It never happened to you. And then he strapped himself in before I go. And we go on this insane roller coaster that spins around all types of crazy ways. I'm screaming. He's screaming. And then the next day, we're in the studio and his wife watches it. And she's like crying. And she's holding the kids. And
is it that much of a problem in his life that the wife is crying? Like, I wanted to get married on a roller coaster, and he refused.
He has a beautiful...
We went to a stupid old church instead.
Why is there a southern accent?
I don't. I'm guessing. Was it a southern accent?
Southern part of Italy. Yeah.
He's from
Sicily.
He's from Sicily.
No, he had a beautiful family. He had two daughters, and he says, "I don't want my daughters thinking their dad is a chicken." And the wife is like, "I don't want him."
That sounds like an Italian thing to say.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Hey, I don't want my kids to think I'm a sissy. I need to be able to ride the roller coaster. Yeah, yeah. They won't respect me.
That sounds totally plausible.
Yeah. Sure. Sure.
I like that you said plausible. Yeah. I love that.
It's a weird thing to get hung up on, is the
word plausible or the
no,
the roller coasters?
The roller coasters.
Oh, he was afraid of like bugs and everything. Oh. Like, yeah, and I
yeah.
Was like,
wouldn't you rather fix that than the roller coaster problem? True. You don't have to go to Six Flags.
I guess Six Flags was just cool because we got to ride the roller coasters, and I'd be like, "All right, here's a bug, terrifying. All right, hypnotized. Now you're okay with it." Roller coaster was just a lot more fun.
Yeah, that's true. But better, you know, television. the guy yeah. cries when he sees a spider, and the wife cries too. Then,
she was a tough lady.
Oh yeah,
she was a tough lady.
Oh, is she the one calling him a sissy?
Yeah. I said, okay. Yeah. She said, like, we were going to stand in line for roller coasters. They would take a photo of us together on the roller coaster, and he'd hop out, and she'd ride it alone. So, like, it was putting a real strain in their marriage.
Weird.
The way they spent a lot of time at Six Flags, that family must be.
Yeah, right. They're always there.
So, let me ask you this question. Let's talk about the self-help side of hypnosis. You know, when I've seen the shows, and I've watched your show, it's amazing. And those of you who are coming tonight, you're going to be in for a treat. You could still get your tickets now, 5854comedy or carlsoncomedy.com. But how long do the effects of something like that last?
Good question.
You say to the guy, you have no problem with roller coasters. Does it go the rest of his life?
Yeah, and he's been on roller coasters since, and he's realized that if I can get over roller coasters, I can get over my fear of germs and bugs, et cetera, et cetera. I met someone who came to a show, never met her before, and she said, "Chris, you're Chris Jones." It's like, "Yes, nice to meet you. How do I know you?" She said, "I lost 60 pounds listening to your audio online. So I don't sell anything. It's quitwithchris.com. I help you lose weight and quit smoking." So the quit smoking can be permanent. Chelsea Handler quit smoking using a hypnotist. Rapper Kid Cudi. All these people see a hypnotist. I give it away for free, not because I'm anything particular. My mom passed away. She smoked, and I was so angry at cancer that I had to take it on something. So I was like, I will take money away from cigarette companies. I will help people lose weight. I'll help people quit smoking. Quitwithchris.com. So I've met people people online. I'll get a message every day. "Chris, you haven't met me before, but I listened to your quit smoking, and I've been smoke-free for a month now. I'm so excited to start a new life. Like, this is amazing. Thank you so much."
That's amazing.
It makes me feel good.
It's a very healthy way to channel.
Right.
You know,
you can't beat up cigarettes. Yeah. And I was super angry. I'm still angry. But that's the best thing that I could do with it.
Yeah.
I got to tell you, if I had that power, that is not what I would be doing with it. And that makes me feel ashamed. It really isn't. You're right. I don't deserve the power. Chris definitely deserves it.
I deserve
nothing. I deserve jail. You really do that. So quitwithchris.com.
Right. Correct.
And you could just go to this website, and if you want to quit smoking, you could download MP3s.
You just listen to it. It's just as long as the internet is in existence, it'll be free. It's a link on YouTube. You listen to that when you're not driving. Don't listen to it when you're driving, because that's bad news.
Mm-hmm.
And the lose weight, you can eat whatever you want, but whenever you go out to eat, you enjoy going out to eat, ask for a doggy bag immediately. And take half of it home. So you're already taking half the calories. It just teaches you that you're going to be full off less.
Interesting.
So keep eating whatever the heck you want, but you just eat less.
And people say it's working for them, huh?
Yeah. I've met like this lady who lost 60 pounds, and she's telling me, like, "I lost a total of 90 inches. And I'm like, that's incredible. And yeah. With Howie Mandel, however, let's go talk about that.
Well, we'll get there.
All right.
We'll get there. If you want to go that way, we'll go that way.
Some people, it doesn't stick because various reasons. They don't want to make that change.
They don't want it to stick.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So let's bring up the Howie Mandel thing.
Okay.
You go on America's Got Talent.
2016. Yep.
2016, 3 years ago. And your life has changed since then in a lot of ways, I take it?
It has. yeah, I just wanted to be a comedy hypnotist. I was doing all these colleges, and people think, oh, if you're on America's Got Talent, it makes your career. I performed with you twice before that. Like,
correct.
I performed, I had done over 1,000 shows, and they saw my stuff on YouTube, and they said, we want a hypnotist. We've mm-hmm. never had a hypnotist. I auditioned, and Howie Mandel shook my hand. It went viral, and like, I got 1,000 emails in 2 days. People like, help me lose weight, quit smoking. But then, like, sad stuff, like, I was invited to India, the country to end domestic violence, and I was like, I don't think it works that way. People with post-traumatic stress,
that's a tall order,
and just all types of stuff, and that got me super depressed and anxious, started having panic attacks, because like, I had this, like,
you felt
messiah,
like you had a real power,
yeah,
but
messiah
you didn't
come, and it's just people, you're my only hope, you got, I'm an alcoholic and I want to be with my family, but I know this is going to kill me. And yeah, panic attacks later, after seeing therapists and talking to family and their support, I'm in a much better place.
Well, that's heavy, man. That's really heavy. You go on this show. You do what's supposed to be a fun and games.
Yeah.
A mm-hmm. fun and shits and giggles. And literally a whole country is like, please stop abuse to our
yeah.
women.
Yeah.
I think the word you used when you said that people look to you like a messiah, like I can see like that. Oh, that's the pressure that no human
right.
being can handle.
I grew up Catholic. I was raised Catholic, and I was like, I really feel bad for Jesus right now. Like, if I could just touch him, I'll be healed. And I was like,
no, it's not the way it works.
Nope.
Yeah.
I'm not your only hope. You have sources out there. Like,
yeah, go to Obi-Wan Kenobi.
Please. Yes.
He's your only hope. So, can we talk about the nuts and bolts of your America's Got Talent performance?
You like.
So, you go on this show, they ask you audition, you go and you wow everybody. Stern, that dick,
I thought Stern was a bit egregious with the handshaking.
Well,
he was just like,
he was
oh,
a dick and X'd you right away while you were still trying to get going.
Yeah.
To be fair, it took a while. I was on stage for some, I don't know, I didn't have my watch going, but maybe 25 to 30 minutes. I was on stage for a while. I didn't know if it was going to work, so I had a couple routines built into it. But he gave me the X, which is the loudest thing ever. I was and they're like, no, you're still good. It was only one X. And I was like, and you just hear my voice go, all right, Howie, when you wake up, I'm wearing gloves. You're going to shake my hands right now. 3, 2, 1. And then you hear my voice crack like, I'm wearing gloves. You'll shake my hand. And he does. I was like, yeah, he did it. And then the rest of it was jazz music. They were like, could you make him do it so he doesn't have this beyond? And I was like, yes, Heidi Klum. I would do anything for you,
yes,
Heidi Klum.
Heidi Klum.
So.
And then go to sleep, and then they're all screaming, shaking his hand, and 100 million views.
Yeah.
I made $150 on that. They gave me a per
diem. I think you
diem.
Made a little bit more than
wow.
that.
No, per diem in a hotel.
I think you made a little bit more than that, if we're talking round,
in the long
run. In the long run.
I'm still the only hypnotist that's been on the show.
Well,
so that's pretty cool.
You know, the bummer part of it is, but
Michael,
the great part,
Michael Bublé.
Michael Bublé.
Michael Bubble.
Michael Bubble. Now, do you wish irreparable harm on him?
I did at the time. I don't now at all.
Yeah.
The world is too good to have hate. And I was angry. And the part that was so bad, like, he embarrassed me deliberately. He says
yeah.
he didn't do it deliberately. And I got off stage, and there were children who were going to audition next. And they were, like, children from Utah, so I didn't want to swear by them. So, like, I found a corner, I was swearing, I was cussing, I was damning him, and then I sat back down, and I had to wait the rest of the day for filming, and they have, like, B-roll on me. This little girl comes up, she's like, I thought you were really good. I'm just bawling. Oh, thank you. But my sister, she can't stand him.
He goes by Bublé on purpose. It's okay to not like him.
Yeah, it's fine to not like him in his freaking Bing Crosby wannabe act.
He consciously chose Bublé.
Only at Christmas do I think about him. Because every Christmas he comes out.
He's just thinking about everything. He's
not everything less.
I really dislike Michael Bublé for you.
And my friends did. My sister, like, I bought Bublé wine, and I was watching me get kicked off the show drinking Bublé wine. And, like, I left the carton in the refrigerator, I come back, and my sister has stabbed out his face with a fork. That's a good sister.
But how are you going to keep the wine fresh?
That's a good sister.
You know, he didn't have to embarrass you, but You said something to me not too long after it happened that I thought was kind of interesting.
I'm intrigued, yeah.
Well, we were talking about the situation, and there's crazy contracts that are involved in any type of television show like that.
Yes.
There was a big-time silver lining for you.
Yes. Because if you made it to Radio City Music Hall under contract, you audition once in front of TV producers, and then they fly you to New York, wherever they're hosting, and that's when you do the audition. And then the first cut... And then Radio City Music Hall, which is live.
Right. Now,
if you make it,
you made
three
the audition,
rounds,
mm-hmm. then you went to the first cut, and that's where
lost.
That Dickhead Bublé showed up.
You're done. But if I made it one more round, under contract, NBC America's Got Talent could ask for half whatever I make for the next 5 years. So if they can prove, because of the national attention, that I got this gig for 10 grand and I'm accustomed to two. They can ask for half for the next 2 years.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And so I don't mind that they pay me $150 and a free flight to and from.
Wow.
So
because when you did that show.
Because once I was done, I was like, that's cool. If anyone calls me, I do something really fun. It's my money.
Now you, how do I put this?
I'm excited.
You got a free commercial, like national commercial.
Yeah,
dude.
I was on national TV for 7 minutes. 3 years ago.
But not only that, they used you in the commercials.
They did. I was in the commercial, yeah.
You were in the commercials. Like, I'm watching preseason football and there's your face.
Yeah. It was, well, again, this is my life. It's just layers. I was literally on national TV. I'm watching myself on TV. I'm next to Howie Mandel. People are tweeting about me and blogging about me. My mom had cancer. So, like, she's in the hotel a mile away. I'm drinking champagne, but I know she's dying of cancer. And she's a mile away. So I could celebrate. I get to see Mel B. I get to see Heidi Klum. I'm next to Howie Mandel. But at the same time, within 5 months, my mom would be gone. So it is relative. And it's not necessarily just a dark thing.
Those things are tied together in your mind, huh?
I think it is. I don't know if that's the Catholic in me. You can't have good without the bad, the Buddhist in me, but...
There's nothing wrong with feeling sad about a parent dying. Obviously, my dad's gone. But it's a shame, just from where I'm sitting, to where you have a very big victory, and then you have to mentally... That you're handcuffed to it in your own head, you know?
I appreciate it.
I love you. I'm sorry to hear that.
I wouldn't change anything about it. You know, in a perfect world, I still have mom, and but things happen for a reason, and it made me more spiritual because I was big agnostic and atheist, and as far as I am now, I do believe God is love. Period. End of story. Whatever connection you have for human beings, even. Friends, family, an animal in your life, your pets, that is love, an extension of God. And we're all in this room together again. Mm-hmm. So.
You're an interesting cat, Chris.
Appreciate it. Better for us.
I want to talk about one other thing real quick before I let you go.
Promise I'll be funny tonight. It won't get weird like this.
Right? So, yeah. Well, you know what? Now I have three more questions. Damn it. I was going to let you get out of here. But first thing is, let's talk about Double Take.
Yeah, I have a TV show. Nothing bad happened with that TV show.
Good.
Nothing bad
Everybody
happened.
Made it out alive.
We're after America's Got Talent, we're pitching TV ideas, and my agent for TV said, Chris, can you hypnotize people not to recognize a person? I said, yeah, absolutely. How long can you sustain that? I'm like, I don't know, like 90-minute show? So they came up with this idea where I would hypnotize a super fan of a celebrity not to recognize their favorite celebrity. And I was like, I don't know if I can do that, but let's try. So they got John Cena to sign on to this thing. So we have... You can't see him.
So you get John Cena.
Yeah.
All right, that's a winner.
And I meet this guy, and I'm like, I won't be offended. Do you know what I've done? And he says, no. Mind you, he's the executive producer, and we're about to film this thing.
And he didn't know what
and
you did.
And I was like, well, I was on America's Got Talent. I shook Howie Mandel's hand. I heard you don't believe in hypnosis. I'm glad you're the executive producer. Let's do this damn thing. So then he meets this woman who, she's having a John Cena themed wedding. She loves this man so much. Her fiance is like, yep, she loves him. So the wedding theme is John Cena. Not WWE.
Is it
John Cena?
Is a John Cena themed wedding just a wedding where everything always goes your way and nothing can ever go wrong for you?
Right.
Yeah.
Where the bride pins everyone. Effortlessly. Yeah. So okay, you have to hypnotize this woman.
So I hypnotize.
But hold on, what does this woman think she's being hypnotized for?
So we tell her that she's decorating a cake for John Cena. Because his birthday's coming up, and this makes complete sense. Mind you, she's crying walking to the bakery because she knows. And I told her, she thinks I'm a TV producer. You're going to meet John Cena, present him with a cake, and tell him how much he means to you. So I'm like, we need to do some breathing exercises because I don't want you to be too nervous. And I'm like, just focus on my voice and now sleep. And John Cena's watching this with her fiance. He's like, I'm officially freaked out. So I say, you wake up, you don't recognize him. You see him, but you don't recognize him. 3, 2, 1,
right
awake.
You can't see him.
Yeah, you can see him. You can actually see
him. You can't see him. That was funny, Brian.
See? Love.
Look what you did.
No one can see him.
So he comes out, and I'm backstage. I'm watching TV Village, Video Village, and she goes, John. And we're like, oh, shit. John. And he goes, I'm John the Baker. She's like, you're John. Like, and he's like, John the Baker. True to character. He just stays in the character. And like, Chris, you need to go back out there? Like, it was literally, it's been described as like watching a plane about to hit a mountain. And at the last second, she's like, you're not John Cena? He's like, I'm John the Baker. And like, it's working. We're like, oh, holy shit, it's going to work. And the whole episode goes down. And it was amazing because at the end, I snap my finger. She's watching the video. She realizes it is John Cena. She's crying.
Yeah, so that's the fun part about it. I don't want to ruin how great this is.
Yeah.
So they pulled John out of there. Like, they don't like have him standing in front of her when she wakes up. They go, hey, you baked the cake, da da da, and you met John Cena already.
Yeah, and she's like,
no, I didn't. No, I didn't. And she's very upset because she thought she was going to meet John Cena, but she legitimately thinks she didn't.
She thought she got ripped off.
I say double take, and that's the word. And then she's watching. She's like, Chris, you said I was going to meet him. You said, and I was like, what would you say to him if you could meet him right now? And then I think he taps her on the shoulder, and she turns around, and she's just speechless, and she's crying into his huge chest and forearms, and just. And you know what it means to me. And then the husband comes in there and again
tries to
credit,
fight John Cena for his fiance.
To his credit, we're still rolling, and he says, "I heard you want to have a glass of wine with me and pick my brain, so we're gonna do that right now." So there's wine, a couple glasses for her and her fiance. We're still supposed to film, and he just sits down for a solid hour and a half. And people are like, "We need to keep filming. We have other stuff." And they're like. His manager's like, please, please don't interrupt John. Like, he'll be upset if we, like, interrupt him hanging out with a fan. So we just politely wait for there. And we're like, John, we got it. He's like, okay. What's this? 10 more minutes of wine? 10 more minutes. So.
Wow. He's a good dude.
He was a good guy. Yeah. John Cena, Pamela Anderson, Steve-O from Jackass. He hit me in the dick.
he tends to do that.
It didn't make it to camera, but yeah. He hit me right in the crotch. NeNe Leakes, Real Housewife. She was terrified of me. Wouldn't shake my hand. Wooden fist bump, like gave me an elbow touch because
you're of the devil.
Well,
black people, we don't mess with hypnosis.
Wasn't there an issue at the joke factory that we were talking about earlier, where someone thought you were the devil?
Oh yeah,
I remember that. Yeah.
Yeah, lady was screaming like I did the induction, and it was great. I had so many people in the audience hypnotized. Like usually, you'll take people up, and I give 12 people, and then 10 get hypnotized. I let 2 go, but I work with the entire audience, and I had must have been like 20 people in the audience hypnotized. And when everyone's like this, she's like, "Oh, nah, my mother's a minister. He the devil. He's Satan." And I was like, "Shh, please be quiet. Nah, I ain't being quiet. Wake up, my man. Wait, I'm like, please stop shaking. Please.
Wake up, my man."
And then security came. Was like, "Nah, I ain't leave without him. He my driver." And I was like, "Well, guys, thank you for sticking around. This was my show." And like, I was sweat. And then. The comedian T. Blunt comes on.
Yeah, our buddy
and he
Travis
saves the day because he just rolls on her. He just imitating her. That asthma. My mother's a minister. Like you can't do this. You Satan. Like he saved the day.
Well,
he's a very funny.
That's got to have happened to you more than once, where people like think you have devil powers.
In Minnesota, I got protested. People found my photos on Facebook, and they were protesting my show outside of the show.
Really?
Like, I literally landed.
Like with signs?
And the advisor's like, "Hey, Chris, everything's fine." I was like, "Well, that's never a good sign if you're saying everything's fine." But you are being protested because they think that you're Satan. And I was like, that's pretty cool. So like I walked into like Sympathy for the Devil. That was my chosen song.
No one's ever thought I was the devil before. I feel sad now.
Yeah, well,
what did
never...
the signs say?
It was fake. It was real Bible verses, but weak connection to you should love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul and have meditate on him always. Don't let this man control your mind. You should be giving it to God.
Yeah.
Real weak connection. Like, I've searched the Bible for the word trance and hypnosis and hypnotize, and it doesn't come up. And these things happen.
So you've been protested for that.
Yeah.
You play colleges all the time.
I do.
All the time.
Yeah.
And the kids at colleges these days, the rumor is, don't quite have the sense of humor of the kids of yesteryear.
I think that's true, 100%. I think I'm still genuine in the sense that I don't lie on stage.
Mm-hmm.
I might exaggerate a little bit, but I've been called out before, and I just explained my thought process. I told some joke like, hold your right hand out, and the joke is, see, the guys knew which one is your right hand immediately.
Mm-hmm.
That's a joke.
Mm-hmm.
And then this girl's like, whoa, like looking around like, and I was like, no one's ooing but you. Like, men masturbate, women masturbate, and I encourage it. No, they don't. Like, what are you protesting
or poo,
against?
They do not.
And she's like, no, it's fine. Keep going. I'm like, I will keep going, but I don't know what your beef is. So these things happen.
That can't be the worst that you've dealt with.
Did you keep one of those signs? I'd have kept one of those.
Oh, I have them.
Oh, yeah.
Do you really?
I do.
Good for you.
I'll give you a golf clap for that. That's the first thing I would have done if I saw protest signs. Like, can I have one of those?
I didn't get to meet the cat, but I would have loved you. Like, boo.
You know what you should do?
That was before the movie Get Out.
Like, dude, do you ever just mess with people and like, pretend that they had been hypnotized, even if you hadn't hypnotized them?
Yeah, yeah. So this is not going to hypnotize you. And you're a smart guy, so this won't affect you, but when I just meet people like that and I do that handshake, did you think something just happened?
I thought maybe for a second.
Yes. Yeah. And they're like, whoa, what did you do to me? Like, you pop something in my arm, like, oh, it's gonna like get to me. It's gonna move up around.
Or I thought maybe you were just waking me up from something that I didn't remember that I did.
Yeah. You're the hypnotist? Yeah, hypnotize me, and I just don't say anything. I just, it's like, dude, I think he hypnotized me.
So can you ever just like fix someone and make them generally more likable and less dull-witted?
I don't know about that. Likeable.
Nah, sorry, Bri.
I'm very likable and I'm very smart.
Sure.
He said what?
Did you hear my boys? They agree with me.
They're in their cages.
I'm
slow
moving. I'm not slow-witted.
So when you have to go play colleges and stuff, you have to write for that crowd. Do you ever, apart from that joke, has anything ever really crossed the line?
Yeah,
I
had this, when you fall asleep, let your chin go this way. I don't want your head to go back like this. That will hurt your head. And if you fall asleep.
And you have your mouth open.
If your head's open like this in the audience, people next you're going to find shit from the floor to put in your mouth. They're going to be like, yeah. Oh, he's asleep. Skittle, paperclip, penis.
Right.
And I love that joke. My cousin, he's like, that's a great joke. And I was like, and then I got an email like, hey, Chris, I'm one of the student life event, and I don't think you should make a reference to oral sex. Probably right. But, you know, it's a dude teabag another dude in my mind with that joke. It's not, I'm sexually assaulting in front of 200 witnesses. It's, you know, balls are funny.
Has anything ever come out of somebody's mouth where they were under that just shocked you to the point where you're like, oh, I'm so sorry.
I'm
just going to pretend I double hypnotized you to say that. I'm going to save you.
Nope. I wouldn't have fallen the blade for them. Nope. I was in a school in Wisconsin and I used to do this family feud, and it was like, name something you squeeze. Orange, lemon, rubber ducky, boobs, tits. Like, oh, very funny. And I said, round two, name something that falls from trees. Apples. Lemons. Dude goes, black people.
Oh.
In reference to lynching. And I was like, oh. And I'm not a comedian and I'm not fast like this. So I was just, And I just go, well, technically he's right, guys. And remember, he's hypnotized, so don't hate him. luckily we're in Wisconsin, there are no black people here except for me. But then I did it again, and I was in Fargo, North Dakota, and this guy, I was like, man, something falls from trees. And the guy, real talk, he just goes, I am on the spectrum for Asperger's or autism. I hate to say it, but I'm going to say African Americans. And I was like, so I was prepared that time.
He was
time.
Under?
Yeah, he was hypnotized.
And he still prefaced it? Yes, he still did yes. a goddamn disclaimer before yes, he was like, a racist?
And I was like, guys, I have a bit now. This is funny. It's accurate. It's true. Things you learn. So I stopped doing that routine.
Yeah, that's not a good question. Who'd have thought what falls from trees is a loaded question?
Right. But I had to do it twice to figure out what would happen.
That's by far the worst, I take it.
I used to do this Barack Obama routine where I would be Barack Obama and I make some guy be Michelle.
Okay.
And then talk about our love life, things like that. And I was doing a high school, like a post-prom. And we have to fix the economy. And the best thing to fix the economy, and there's a kid hypnotizing the audience, like, I have a question. If you pick cotton, will that fix our economy? And I was like, your parents are here, and I wish they would raise you better.
Again, that's nuts. What an awful thing to say.
There's no filter. So if you're out there like, oh, it's fake, you should watch my bloopers on YouTube. There is some stuff out there. Stay woke.
So being hypnotized turns off your wokeness? Is that what you're saying? For some people, everything, apparently?
Everything just comes out. Like, when you wake up, I'm Iron Man. I'm looking for superheroes. You can't be Iron Man. You're black. All right, that's fine. It's like these things happen. Like,
there was routinely. A black Iron Man, though.
Yeah.
I'm
Iron Patriot.
Yeah. War Machine.
War Machine. And, yep.
Yeah.
War Machine.
One had better ratings than the other one.
And the new Iron Man's a black girl, I think.
I believe so, too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Iron Person.
Iron Human. Iron Metallic Human Being.
Wasn't that Margaret Thatcher? Wasn't she the Iron Lady?
Oh, yeah.
I got nothing. Yeah. Wow. We're doing good today. So let me ask you this, Christopher.
Please.
What is, tell me about a time where you used your evil power that was so amazing to you that you couldn't believe that you actually made it work.
The first time I did a show, I was like, sleep. And they went to sleep and I was like, oh my God, it's working. That was pretty cool. I still remember the first time. I was in Colorado once after years performing and I performed, I was done. And it was my first time having edibles. And I had 100 milligrams in a candy bar. And the guy was like, if you eat this, you'll sleep the entire flight. I did not sleep a second that night. I was high for 2 days. I slept for like a hair. I woke up, I was still high. I drove 40 miles an hour to the show. I'm performing, and I go to sleep. And guy goes to sleep, and I'm like, oh my God, it worked. Like, what if he doesn't wake up?
No.
I'm like tweaking out. I'm like, what if he doesn't wake up? Like, no one should have this power.
He's
guys,
like, I'm itchy.
Wake up. And he woke up. I was like, oh my God, he woke up, sleep. And they're like, dude, like at the end, like, that was hysterical. I didn't remember anything. I was like, that's all I remember.
Wow. And you went through on muscle memory that night.
Yeah, it was all just like, I hope this is funny. Are you going to hypnotize me? I hope so. I'm the hypnotist.
It's on my card. It'd be really weird if I didn't. Yeah.
So Chris's show is tonight at 8 o'clock. We don't know what to expect. You should know what to expect.
Show up.
All we know is that it's going to be fun. So come on out. Tell your friends. Get a group together. Show is at 8 o'clock. You get your tickets right now, 5854-COMEDY, or visit carlsoncomedy.com. I want to thank you for coming to Rochester, because you don't play clubs, dude. You don't do clubs often.
This is the only club, period, you will see on my schedule. Only club, period.
And why is that?
I have an agent who has me do TV and an agent that has me do colleges, universities. Done all 50 states now. I performed in Japan. But legitimately, I'm not saying this is a brag. This is the only club that I do.
I love it. We're glad to have you here, man.
I'm not saying that to be polite. You invited me, and so thank you.
You're always invited.
Do not teach him your powers, please.
You would get out of speeding tickets, I would hope.
I know. He would do so much.
Chris, I really would like to learn. I would come out to Chicago for like 2 days. If you were really down to teach me, I would like to learn it. I can't say that I would go and do it, but I would be fascinated to learn it.
Okay.
And I would treat it very, very respectfully.
No, you wouldn't. Look at his stupid little face.
Yeah.
I will be... I promise
you. Your mouth says something, but your smile says I'm lying.
Yeah. No, I respect the art, Chris. I'm going to respect the art.
You're
so good.
You're giggling so much right now.
But it's because I'm happy to see you.
Every time he falls down, he'll hypnotize people into thinking
you didn't see it. You didn't see it. No, I would really
think you would do it some, like you go to like a Comic Con or something, and you'd be like, "Dude, lighten up! Like, don't take this so serious." And you would do some social justice.
I would. I would do great things for humanity. Teach me now.
I disagree.
I'm like the worst Padawan. That's like the worst Star Wars reference too. All right, we'll be back tonight. Show at 8 o'clock at the Rickles Room. Keep an eye out the rest of the week. We got one more episode we're going to release this week of our bonus stuff with our friend Dalton Castle. So keep an eye out for that. But until we meet again, Chris Jones, thank you for coming back to Rochester. I love you, pal.
Love you too, buddy.
All right.
Thanks for hanging out.
We'll be back soon. Why don't you play our sponsors out? And adios, amigos.
Dream big dreams.
Hey, everybody. Thanks for tuning in to the Comedy at the Carlson Cast. I want to say thanks to our great friends. How about Chef Joe over at Sapori Cafe and Catering? They're located inside of the Powers Building Atrium downtown and have the best lunch specials you're going to find in Rochester. And to top it off, they can cater your very own special event. Visit at Sapori Rochester on Instagram and find them on Facebook for more information. You could also check out our good friends over at Three Heads Brewing. Jeff and the boys over there make the finest beers you're going to find this side of the Genesee River. And they also have an amazing, amazing brewery with live music just about every night of the week. Check out threeheadsbrewing.com for more information there. And we also want to say thanks to our friends at Iron Smoke Whiskey. Always remember to drink responsibly, but they make delicious stuff. They make Rattlesnake Rosie's Apple Pie Whiskey and a traditional Applewood Smoked Whiskey. Visit ironsmokewhiskey.com or you can visit their tasting room on Parse Avenue in Fairport. So thanks, sponsors. Now it's time for a show.